Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The Watch Your Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show. Hi, Brianna. Welcome to Watch Your Next podcast.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I write psychological thrillers and historical fiction. I've been doing that for about seven, eight years. Before that, I was a journalist and I covered politics and policy in Washington, D.C., which was very exciting in my 20s. And then my 30s hit and I was like, I can't keep covering every single super deadline at Christmas Eve kind of thing. So I kind of shifted my interest into fiction, which is I just really love doing. So that's kind of my career background. I live in Asheville. I have a puppy named Jinx, who is 1 year old and sleeping, so he's not going to disturb us.
So what was the transition like for you to move into fiction? And you have psychological thrillers, which are, you know, they're twisting turns and you may have to plot it out. And then you have historical fiction that you have research. So there's a little bit like, you know, added components of just not just I'm going to write a book. Like there's more to the book process. So what was the transition like from being a journalist to writing fiction and then even just within your niche?
Yeah. So I was on the editorial side of journalism. I was doing like production and editing and all sorts of things, which I think really gave me a strong base to come into publishing because I've heard time and again, like one of my strengths is like that I'm very editable. Like someone can give me a direction and I take it very well because I was an editor and I've seen writers who get too attached to their own work and really push back. And it's just, it doesn't become a partnership. It becomes, you know, a battle. And so I think that helped a lot with the foundation, but also just like you said, research is really important. Not only for the historical fiction, but I'm actually writing a thriller series right now that stars a linguist and like a forensic linguist. And I did not realize how hard linguistics was. And I'm doing like these research deep dives into like scientific journals and like trying to learn statistics. And it's just, but I do feel like having a journalism background and having that decade, then I was in college, it was my major. So it just kind of really created a foundation for that research that I need for fiction writing. I think I just love fiction writing so much because you can just create your own world. With journalism, you have to rely on so many other people. And I'm like a people pleaser. So if I like had a deadline or something and I had to rely on somebody else to get back to me, I just got really anxious. In fiction, you just get to create and rely on your own imagination.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's like it's allowing yourself to just have the freedom to work by yourself, you know, and create the worlds and imagine them and just maybe dig into this tangent and be like, okay, well, like it's not going to affect me, you know, in the long term, the day to day thing. And so with journalism, you really have like all these other factors that are just taken into account that you have to kind of like produce, you know.
And there's so many people, especially if you're covering politics, who have like a very vested interest in your what you're doing. And so you have to be super on top of it, which is, of course, fantastic because that's what journalists should do. They should be really on top of it. But there's that level of stress that I shed a little bit when I left journalism, which was good.
So as we were chatting before we came on the air, you wrote a your historical fiction is a very timely, you know, book. It's the Library of Burn book. So tell us the elevator pitch on this chat about a little bit about it. So
yeah, so the pulse point of the book is the this woman named Viv, and she works for the Council of Books on Wartime, which is a real organization that existed. And I kind of gave all of the like little responsibilities to Viv, and so she became this fictionalized character, but she represents people who did exist. And her husband just died. That's on the first page, so it's not a spoiler. And he, one of his last letters talked about the Armed Services Editions, which were paperback books that were sent to soldiers to boost morale. And he loved it, and it was like the last thing he mentioned. And so she becomes like this champion for these books that are being attacked by a powerful senator who wants to censor them because he has a grudge against Roosevelt. So he wants to get political points, but he's kind of dressing it up as, you know, protecting the taxpayer money from propaganda, political propaganda. So she kind of goes to battle against this powerful senator. And as she does, she discovers these two women, and they have intersecting histories. But they were both in Berlin in 1933 during the book burnings. And one of them worked at a library that protects the books the Nazis wanted to burn, which is where the title came from. And so all of their fates kind of intertwine into a cinematic finale.
There we go. And so as I said, as we can probably tell, if we look at the news, there's been a whole thing about banned books. I live in a state that is a big proponent of it, and it's been on the news for it. And so, you know, what kind of similarities are you noticing from this time period, from like 1930s to where we are today, without going into politics, but just like there's some eerie similarities here?
Yeah, there's definitely parallels, and you see echoes. One of my favorite sayings is that history might not rhyme, but the history might not repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme. And so I think, you know, I started writing this book in 2020. And so we weren't really at the fever pitch we were right now. I hope this is as bad as it gets, but we weren't there yet. But you can just see it, like the drumbeats of fascism are just really consistent. So once you start studying history, you can see the way that they try to control people who want to become authoritarianism or whatever, want to control the masses, essentially, the people who vote. And they do that through entertainment or information that's available. But I always think that books have a really specific angle because they create empathy. And I don't know how many other entertainment mediums do it to quite the same extent, because you're inside your main character's head usually. And that really creates a unique empathy for other people, other cultures, other religions, all sorts of stuff. And so when you have that, you don't get to control the people who are, you know, who are having this expanded worldview as well. And so to control that, you have to control what books they read. And so I think you're seeing the same thing there. I think another startling an important thing to point out is they also went after queer creators, books, research. There was an institute, one of the first institutes they raided for the 1933 book burnings was an institute that studied transgenderism, queerness, women, everything like that, decades ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. And they burn all that research. It's just gone. And so it just feels like it's a really, that's where they were, like, it feels like they just continue to go after people who maybe are not in the majority of the population, who are a minority. Yeah. So an easy target. So I think you see those parallels as well right now.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see it and to be like, holy crap, this could be fiction. And this is reality, you know, like this is the reality we're today. And so I think it's important like to look at books and like, you know, their books gives us not only an escape, but they teach us about other people's experiences, identities, way of living, how they make choices, decision making and different things. And, you know, I know they're blaming on pornography. I'm like, yeah, romance is pornography. I'm like, yeah, no, like it tells you how to have a healthy relationship and like how your sexuality, like embracing it and all the different things. It's not, you know, we're so puritanical.
I know. Well, and I do feel like there's an aspect to it where it's like if someone is queer, their existence is sexualized, you know, like just being gay, lesbian, whatever, like their existing is sexualized, and you just, and they don't do that for, you know, straight people who, but it happens all the time with, like, you know, babies wearing onesies that are like a future heartbreaker. And I'm like, like, how is that? I don't know. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy there, and scary.
It's scary times. So we'll keep fighting the good fight, you know?
Exactly. That's what most people kind of take away, is just like, fighting the good fight is kind of worth it sometimes. And even if you don't win, it's still important, you know, it's still important to make sure that our voices are heard. And it's not a minority, that's the only voices that are heard.
Yeah, good news. I just saw in the news that Illinois passed, they're about to pass a bill that it allows not to ban books. Like, they're in the
I was so excited.
And I was like, yay. I lived in Illinois for a couple of years. And I was like, yay, they're doing something. So,
I know. I feel like that's such like a low bar to be excited about. But at the time, it is kind of exciting news.
So switching gears, let's talk about the Gretchen White series, because it's the third book is coming out in a couple weeks. So tell us all about it.
Yeah. So I feel like I wasn't going to be emotional, but this is the third and right now final book for my series on Dr. Gretchen White, who is a sociopath. And she solves crimes as a sociopath. And the first one, the way that it came about is I really am interested in the psychopath kid trope. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really feel like I had anything to add to it. I think it, like, there's an oeuvre out there that is plentiful. But I did think that it would be cool, like, to write if someone framed the psychopath kid, because then, like, of course everyone thinks it's them, and how do you get someone to listen and doubt that story? And so that's how Gretchen came about, because she's a sociopath, so she kind of sees herself in this, like, psychopath kid. And that started the series. And then she kind of has this background where she was involved in a murder when she was a young girl, and that's kind of haunted her for her whole life. So that second book, she solves that. And then the third one is she has this partner named Marconi, and I have people like begging me to like get them together, but Marconi is arrested for a murder that she didn't commit. So that's kind of the, or did she, I don't know, that she might not have committed.
I don't know. And these books are available on Kindle.
Anyways, and so that's the third one. And I think it's funny because everyone just, like, the feedback I've gotten on it so much more than any of my other books is how much they just love the characters. And it's so funny because they're like, it's a lovable sociopath. And, you know, her and Marconi's relationship was really fun to write because, you know, they kind of fit and rub at the wrong, you know, they kind of like have their jagged edges kind of match. And so, that was really, it was really fun to write. I got to be like snarky and think about, like, I want to kill this person because they're annoying me type inner monologue. So,
I love this. And these books are available on Kindle Unlimited as a read and listen, which is exciting. So if you want to listen to it, you have Kindle Unlimited, you can also get the audiobook included in the whole shenanigan, you know.
Awesome. And I love the narrator for the Gretchen voice is great. Perfect. Narrator.
Perfect. All right. So let's talk some book recommendations. But before we get that, we got to talk about Game Changer series by Rachel Reed, because we both are huge fans of it.
Huge fans. Love you, Rachel Reed.
So for those who haven't listened, you know, the Game Changer series is a male hockey romance. It's about 6 books in the series, but they follow different team members and different teams. So it's not like anything straight up. Each book has like a sequel. But they're not, you don't need to read the whole 6 books in the series, but you should, because they're so good. So tell us, like, what is your favorite couple, first of all, and then, like, what do you love about the series and what brings you comfort by reading them?
So Shane and Ilya are my, I feel bad because I feel like they like dominate everybody's favorite list. I follow her on Instagram and she was posting all of like the last year rounds up, and she's just, that couple is like on everybody's favorite list. So books 2 and 6, if you guys are interested, they're just so cute together. It's the rivals, and then they're kind of rival sex, and then they become more than that, and kind of navigating how to hide a relationship in professional hockey without, you know, destroying their careers. And I think there are just so many moments in there where I just, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I also really like, I think she really tackles some deeper issues like anxiety and mental health, depression. I really like the book with the, oh my God, I'm going to blank on his name. The big tough enforcer guy.
Yeah.
And the singer. Yes. Fabian, but I don't remember. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
I think it's tough guy. Yep.
And he, you know, he's forced to kind of beat people up for a living as the like a defender of his hockey team. And he has like a mental breakdown about it. And I think she just handles all those issues really well, and it makes it more than it just makes it, gives it another layer that I find very just like comforting and lovely to read.
Yes. Oh, that series is like, it has a very special place in my heart too. So
I know. And I think I've reread my favorite ones like a couple of times. You know what I thought was really interesting is, since we're chatting, is the one with the social media manager. And
yes.
And I felt like she handled that so well, because one of the main characters has kind of internalized homophobia, and the other one is out and proud and loud, and just the way that he was kind of a villain, and like the, not a villain, but he was not great. You didn't root for him in the previous books. Like, he showed up every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then he got his own book. And I just like loved the way that she navigated that. Like, he wasn't perfect, but you ended up just like loving him anyways.
Yeah, I love that one, because it was like, I think we just saw a redeeming story, like a villain redeeming itself.
Yeah.
You know? And
like a real redemption story. Like, it wasn't like it wasn't stuff that you're like, oh, well, that's just normal, or like whatever. It was like legitimately he had caused harm and pain. Yeah. And then he went and did the work, and like you got to see him doing the work. And I think that's really cool, and like a unique kind of take on it.
Yeah, so the series is so, so good. And Rachel Reed is coming out with a standalone later on this year. We do have an interview with her from years before, so I'll post it on the show notes so you can hear her talk about the series, you know.
And awesome. I'm going to go listen to it. Yay.
And how we fangosh about Ilya and Shane. And we love every time Ilya shows up, because Ilya does make a cameo in many of the other books, which is so good. So.
I love it. And like, you get, I love that she like put in pieces, and then in the sixth book, you saw it in his happening, like with the plane. I won't give anything away, but the plane scare. Oh, I cry at that. I like tears.
It is so good. All right, so let's have some book recommendations. What kind of books do you recommend our listeners to pick up, other than The Game Changer, which they have to get it?
Well, go read that, and that will keep you busy for like a week. I just finished, I think I answered differently earlier, but I just finished The Golden Spoon by Jessa Maxwell, which was so fun. It was like a great bake-off clue type. They're in a manor and someone dies, and that was really fun. I also just finished The House of Eve by Sadika Johnson. And that was beautiful. It came out in February. So these are all kind of recent. I like to keep up with like recent as much as possible. But it was about two women in the 50s. They're Black women and young, and they get pregnant. And again, I'm trying to like navigate spoilers, but I don't think that's a spoiler. And just how hard it was. And it just, I feel like talking about timeliness and how much Roe v. Wade has let us control our lives more. And now I keep dragging us back to politics. Sorry, but
it is okay.
It's a good example of like how recent it was that a pregnancy is just going to derail a lot of plans and like the way that you live. So that was really timely. I also just finished The Lost English Girl, if you want a historical fiction rec. It was about the children who were evacuated from cities in England because they thought there were going to be like bombs dropped, which there were, of course. But all of the psychological ramifications that went into it, like they were like, yes, this is a good idea. Let's like ship the children to the country. But they weren't really thinking of like the mental health of like a 6-year-old who's like suddenly torn from the house, like their home for 6 years, 5 years. And so that was kind of an interesting aspect to a World War II setting.
Yeah. These are great recommendations. Okay. So thank you. So yeah. Brianna, tell us where you can find you online.
So BriannaLabuscus.com will kind of have all the links that you need to socials and stuff. I have a unique name. So Googling something close will usually get you to my website.
There we go. Thank you, Brianna, for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with a free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro FM for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.